The term sound art is a funny one. At least it seems a bit odd because anytime I mention it, people seem to wriggle their eyes. What do you mean sound art? Do you mean music? Found sound? Random recordings? Field recordings? Bird calls? I suppose the term is difficult to explain. I see it as a manipulation of recorded sound through a computer program. But when you speak to a sound artist, it seems like the art form came upon them when they first started listening to music, when they were in their early teens, or maybe even 10 or 11, and decide to play around with the tape deck and cassette to change the way a pre-recorded piece sounds. I find this exciting because, to me, it seems to be what artists truly do well. Expand the way something already is, thereby changing the way in which we experience it. San Francisco is famous for its electronic music sound art scene. When I first moved here, almost 3 years ago, I went to a sound show where I was asked to put on blindfolds and experience the vibration of sound, be immersed in it. As a result, I lost sense of time and space. My normal faculties of sight and sense were completely affected, and I experienced sound in a different way. Project Soundwave is the creation of appreciator Alan So. He started a company called Mediate, in which his ultimate goal has been to, quote, challenge perspectives to inspire new and unique experiences within ourselves and the world around us. Alan wants audiences to look beyond the surface and look deep into ideas and works critically, imaginatively, and without limitation. Thus, he began a sound series titled Soundwave, bringing together sound artists, dancers, writers, and filmmakers to provide a space where collaboration can occur and observe the ways that collaboration expands boundaries. On this week's Sight and Scene, the voice of Alan So and two of his artists who took part in Soundwave, Justino and Night Night. Their pieces weave in and out of their answers, so stay tuned for both on your Resonance FM.
Walking back home with a friend, and then all of a sudden it's like, stop, do you hear the little cricket? And the guy answered to me, he's like, man, we're in a city, there's no crickets here. And it's like, wait, hold on. And then 10 minutes later, there he was, click, 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 click. And he was like, holy crickets here. But yeah, so you take it for granted. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, awareness.
The idea is that we miss so much stuff. Like we go on about our lives and we just kind of like, you know, barrel through, and we kind of miss, you know, almost like the beauty of the sounds around us and what that involves. And, you know, I think it's about that, but it's also about new sounds that are created.
When I was a child, when I was about 3, I was actually blind for about a good 5 months because of an accident that I had with some chemicals in my eye. And so during that time, I remember my parents telling me that they would just watch me sort of stumble around the house with my arms outstretched, and it was, of course, breaking their heart. But I remember being very aware of, obviously, of sound, because you had to sort of rely upon that more than you would any of your other senses. And they were avid record collectors. And, you know, at that point, I was just starting to get into, you know, really understanding what artists produced what sounds, you know. And I knew that this 45 was the Beatles. And I Want to Hold Your Hand sounds really, really cool if you turn it way up. And so there were a lot of moments like that where you just start to make associations. And I knew what the sound of the carpet was, as opposed to the sound of the hardwood floor and the sound of the concrete outside under my feet. And just the sort of the feelings that you associate with those sounds, and the sort of, I guess, power that those sounds hold. And I think that's probably the first time I was sort of aware of sound.
Sympathetic response and attunement with the consciousness of the cosmic resident within you. Close your eyes and visualize what shall be related to you. Think of a small dot in space, about 1/2 inch in diameter. We shall say that this dot is the universal force and mind.
Thank you.
Where I work, for example, I work in a vault where there's all the art, and the only noise I have is the air system, because it's all room temp, climate condition for all the art. So you get a lot of noise, permanent. But yeah, I arrived to a point in which, like, I'm not listening to it. I'm just selecting that high-pitched frequencies off. Those little noises that you hear around here, people walking upstairs, that sometimes there's a little current of air and you move something around there. I don't know what it is, but I'm listening little stuff over there. So
that's interesting. It's like, you know, there's so many, you know, we create instruments to play as music, but there's a lot more that creates sound, and those are actually instruments as well. You know, our body is an instrument. You know, you were, I mean, like you've done work where you actually used bodily sounds as well. And it's like, you know, you're saying, but like, if, you know, the feet and going on, it's like all these things can culminate into a symphony. It culminate into, you know, ranges from like, you know, noise to like, you know, music, but it's also, what does it mean to us?
One day working at the Old, the Young, one of the guards were wearing flip flops. And I can hear her walking around with like, and I'm like, hell, this is great. But I know it's a flip-flop, but this is great, like, to recreate a rhythm pattern with that. Then just EQ, get rid of all the highs and get just the boom, 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 boom. Or the plates they put when they dig holes on the streets. And then you get rush hour and it's clong, 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 clong. And that's, again, another rhythm.
Sound has this limitless possibility to it, that there are so many options. It's as important as breathing, really. It's sort of it's just an essential component of my world and who I am. I've often thought about what I would do if I lost my sense of hearing. Because it's going to go, you know. I mean, I've already lost some of my high end. But I've often thought about like what would happen if I could not hear, and what would that mean, and what would that change, and what kind of a person would I be, and I just can't imagine it. It's like the one I think the one thing that I have. Difficulty comprehending, you know, more so than any of the other, you know, sort of profound questions in life, like what would I do if I can't hear, is probably the one that's unanswerable to me. So I think that's kind of a roundabout way of answering your question, but it's, I guess, just to say that it's important.
I was challenged as a kid, you know, in a lot of different ways, and didn't really have a whole lot of outlets to express myself. I actually, as a kid, stuttered a lot. And it's actually a thing where basically you have to think more in order to say things. And still to this day, I mean, I don't stutter as much, but it's something that you kind of process in your mind. It's this extra sort of filter that you have to go through to get what you want to say out. And to express myself in a vocal way, I think it's harder for me than writing.
One day I was at the photography studio when I was living in Switzerland. I was a photographer there. And I was taping sound, dropping some tubes, like pipes that you use for building a table, for shooting, etc. And I was dropping them on a specific cadence because I was taping very fast and I was going to pass that very low. So it creates more, it amplifies the reverb and it gets these very deep sounds. And at that point, my colleague enters without noise, but he hits the tripod. And the tripod is one of these big, fat tripods that squeaks. I'm like, and then, okay, he left, continue. I just lock the thing so that nobody disturbs me. And at the end, I pass the tape, and I start listening, and all of a sudden, that little squeak becomes kind of like a whale sound. I'm like, hell, spend 2 more hours, 4 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, but then you pass it low and it's, it was amazing. I was like finding little things through ear. And that's more or less how our lives go on.
Sure.
And I go into a grocery store and I just turn around and I tape. And it's one single track, but then it's all tweaked process through filters and delays and stuff like that. And it created that.
A walk through the supermarket. We'll play that.
The fridge that you just turn off. Exactly. That's those hums. But then alter it becomes something very interesting.
Those were the words and sounds of Alan So, creator of Mediate and Justino and Night Night, two sound artists who have taken part in Mediate's Project Soundwave. To learn more about the series, visit mediate.net. That's mediate.net. This has been Sight Unseen, hailing from San Francisco, and my name is Tanya Katenjian. You're listening to Resonance 104.4 FM, the UK's first radio art station. Stay tuned.
Thank you.